This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. You're listening to The Cowboys Podcast, presented by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, Jono and Steve-O.
Welcome, Cowboys, to another great show here, and we're getting ready for the Denver Broncos. Steve-O, how the hell are you?
Well, you know what? We never did. I mean, I know you've said no, but I'm not going to give up on this. You sure you don't want to get a Denver Bronco fan a call and just maybe see how they feel about the matchup?
I already told you I don't want him in here. We almost got in the fist fight last time.
Maybe a different guy that you won't fight with.
I get a fight. You know what? I don't like any Denver Broncos. How's that? Anyone that's from the other side, I have a hard time dealing with it.
Well, let me tell you what. You got an intern sitting out there in a Philadelphia Eagles shirt last week. I thought you were going to figure four you were trying to put him in? An arm bar? What was that?
Honest to God, he's such a nice kid, though. I don't know what the hell. And then he made sense by why he likes him, because he went to Vanderbilt, and I guess one of his players is from Vandy, and that's why he's like an Eagle fan. So I was like, and he looks like a kid. If I pop him one time, he'll go down. I don't want to do that. I like the kid.
I think that would do magic for our ratings here. Maybe we'll go Facebook Live IT guy.
That'll put some sort of virus on my computer. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, you know, usually we do like a Facebook Live on one of these primetime games. I say we skip the Facebook Live when we do primetime. I say we do the Facebook Live when you have to, you know, face the enemy when they come in here to studio. I think that's better television.
Yeah, you're right. That would be better television. Better way to convict me, too.
Yeah, it'd be on, it's like a body cam, babe.
Oh, Jesus. Hey, folks, we got a big game coming up against Denver in Denver. And I tell you what, I'm excited, Steve-O. I'm really, really pumped up about it. I can't wait for it. This will be a true test of playing in hostile territory, you might say. Hostile lands.
Yeah, but okay, so Denver looked good the other night, right?
Against the Chargers.
They looked good, and they kind of pissed it away towards the end and held on. But at the end of the day, I'm probably more fired up on, you know, the monkey off of our back with that Giants win we had on Sunday. But I got us going 2-0. I got us winning this one. I really think that the maturation of Dak and the way our defense played in that first game, that we're going to be able to build on it and just continue to roll to start this the first four games of the season for sure.
Yeah, there's no question. Every game right now seems like a turning point to where we're getting much more. We're developing like a veteran. Like a veteran. That's the key. We're playing like we're not. I don't even think that sophomore jinx is even around. I mean, the kid looked damn good.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't last week against the Giants. I mean, he came out and exercised the demons, the one team that he didn't beat last year, and got him. You know, he did what he had to do. We wanted a little bit more in the end zone, and I'm hoping we get that this week as we go up there into Mile High or whatever the hell they're calling that stadium up there now. But if we can go up there and him continue to progress, I'm fired up on it, really. I think that I'm excited about the weapons that we've been scene, and I'm excited about every week. It seems like Scott Linehan is going to throw out another wrinkle and another wrinkle, and then by the end, you know, by week, game number 16, you're going to be like, holy crap, I mean, we got all these things that we can do. What are we going to do here?
Right.
And just watch him. I mean, he's got to be a kid in a candy store with all those weapons, don't you think?
Oh, there's no question. I would love to be the offense coordinator of that team. It'd be like playing a PlayStation where everyone, all your receivers are – 8 and better on the ratings and everything that you got going. This is a fantasy team, man. I mean, if you think about all the draft picks, you would get in a fantasy season. You've got about three or four on this team. Well, four for sure. You got Zeke, you've got Dak, you've got Dez, and you've got Witten. Four guys that are or five. Let's make it five. Let's count the kicker too.
Yeah, Bailey.
You got five guys on your top offense of a type of teams in fantasy football.
Well, speaking of fantasy football, and I got to figure this out, and I'm on the site right now. We did something through DraftKings last week with Cowboys podcast. I actually opened it up to the public. I'm not real familiar. I just kind of bet some mediocre games or, you know, teams in here with this DraftKings. I really haven't played around with it too much. I got to figure out how to get it exclusive to Cowboy fans because I think it was open to the public. So if anybody knows how to do that, hit us up on our Facebook page at Cowboys Podcast.
But you did. You did
I did.
Me,
I did.
You did tell me you brought it up on our show on the social media, and you brought up 200 players.
200 players
needed for our DraftKings, and 200 responded right from the get-go.
Yeah, it looks
so
like
200 out of 200.
M. Wilhelm won it, got first place, 171.66 points. 6-8 points, and you know, Steve-O here was in 30th out of 200, so I kind of liked it.
All right,
I did well this week on DraftKings. So,
all right, that's good. Maybe we could work out some deal with DraftKings. Maybe we could have our own code or something like that to show how many people we can attract to this.
I think I'm going to set up another game and contest. So if you guys want in, look for it. It's going to be open to the public. It's going to be under cowboyspodcast.com. I think maybe we'll put a couple of dollars and maybe a winner take all or something like that, just so some people maybe have a little fun with it. What do you think?
Yeah, there's no question about it. Okay. I'd love to do something like that.
All right, we'll get you going, babe.
All right. Well, I tell you what, Steve-O, we've got our big fan out there, Travis Johnson, and I thought we'd give him a call and see what he thought about this upcoming showdown with the Denver Broncos. Travis, how are you?
Doing good, brother. How you guys doing?
We are doing great.
Well, man, we're as good as a 1-0 team can be going up into Mile High here in a couple of days.
Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely.
Hey, what was your take on the whole Giant game?
I thought overall, you know, we definitely got the monkey off our back. Those were the two blemishes on our record last year outside of the Philly game. I thought it was a great start. Dak still looked, you know, there's no sophomore slump there. Everything came together pretty well. I was definitely impressed and pleased with the outcome.
For sure. For sure. It just seemed like we were clicking on all ends.
Definitely, definitely. Now, the red zone efficiency, you know, that may have scared me a little bit. I felt like we left a few points on the field, but, you know, that defense, the no-name defense, as they've been labeled, you know, to hold that team to just 3 points in that third quarter total, I thought that was very commendable of the guys.
Well, we pointed out how good – I mean, you've basically summed up our whole show from a couple of days ago in two sentences, but we pointed out how well we liked Sean Lee playing, how we thought our defensive backs really held their own, and we had a decent pass rush onto Eli and really kind of had him out of rhythm, even though they didn't have Odell Beckham in the lineup.
You know, and I'll agree with that. You know, I was impressed with Paya, Tapper, definitely. Of course, Cheetah Bay, you know, those guys, you know, everybody did their job. Sean Lee, of course, led the way with 8 total tackles, 7 of those being solo. And I thought we got some good pressure on the quarterback as well. When Anthony Brown had to come in after Scandrick went down, you know, he definitely did his job and, you know, kept everything in line out there. And I do, you know, realize that Odell didn't play, but I was just telling the guy the other day, you know, Odell, he doesn't block, he doesn't play defense, and, you know, if he really means that much to the team, I guess that's saying a lot of good for our defense as well.
Yeah, and you know what? You forgot to mention one other key player on that defensive line, and that was number 90, DeMarcus Lawrence, man. He was a load for that offensive line for the Giants. I mean, he was coming in with a three-man defensive rush, and he was putting pressure on the Eli.
Oh, yeah, I definitely agree, man. He had about five total tackles, four of those being solo. He got to him twice, and he had three tackles for a loss, put his hands on him twice for the quarterback hits. And, you know, he's got a lot to prove. He knew he was coming off the suspension from last season, and, you know, he said he was going to try to play at, you know, at the top of his game this year. And, if he can continue on for 15 more, he's definitely going to be a force to reckon with as we move forward here.
Yeah, they got him at 6'3", 265, and I'm telling you what, right now, he didn't look 265. He looked like close to 285, and he was fast. He was fast, and he bull rushed and made everything look really good. That offensive line of Giants, I don't know what it is, but we definitely had their number.
We definitely had that number, man. And I also would have to tip my cap to the kid. You know, Jalen Smith finally getting back out on the field. You know, last year this time we were talking about, you know, if he could even play. But, you know, for him to get out there and play the number of snaps when we thought that we were, you know, only going to be able to use him here and there, maybe a little bit on third down. You know, he finished with seven total tackles, four of those being solo. You know, I did see a little, you know, couple of times in there he was kind of indecisive on what he wanted to do. But, you know, I would definitely attribute that, you know, to the first game jitters on a big stage. But, you know, he was impressive as well.
Let me ask you this. We have not touched bases on this one, but do you think that him being right next to Sean Lee, I mean, do you play with a little bit more confidence knowing that, you know what, it's not all up to me? I got a captain here that if I don't make the big hit, I know he's going to be right there like glue and taking care of business.
Absolutely. I mean, I would believe so. You know, if he was out there on his own, you know, sort of on an island to speak, it probably would look, you know, the total opposite. But knowing, you know, that you have a defensive leader, a vocal leader right there beside you, leading you all the way, it does make it, you know, a lot more easier. And just as he's been saying throughout the whole, you know, the whole off season, he's had the clear eye view on things, and coming out there like that, you know, it can only boost his confidence, and I only see him going, you know, going up from here.
Right, right. And the whole team, like I said on the last show, I really feel that it reminded me of the early 90s, to where it was like no one is single tackle. It was like a swarm. It was like three, four guys around that ball carrier the entire time. It was like the pursuit angles were beautiful to watch. No, none of them took the easy route or anything like that. I mean, they covered a lot of ground. We didn't hear anything from the DBs, which is a great sign for me, because if we don't hear about the DBs, that means there's no action happening down deep.
Absolutely. I would definitely agree to that. And, you know, they played with the Marinelli style. Swarm the ball, you know, everybody get where you need to be on the field. And, you know, like you said, we didn't hear much about the DBs. There was a time that I don't even think, you know, the people could even recognize that Skandrick wasn't even out there, because we were doing so well on defensive line. And with the linebackers, you know, as you stated, it really wasn't too much. You know, Cheetah Bay and Byron Jones, Jeff Heath. I didn't even really hear those guys' name at all throughout the game as much as we normally do, you know, because it seemed like, just as you said, back to the 90s, just next man up. It really doesn't matter who's in there. Everybody's going to play with that same intensity. And, you know, we finished up with a total of about three sacks, which is, you know, I mean, it should have been a fourth one, you know, with the knee down towards the end of the game, but that was last year's total, you know, for the overall season at about four sacks. So we're already about, you know, 60-70% on the way to be 10 times better, in my definite opinion.
Absolutely. So looking forward to this matchup. Now Leary is with Denver, isn't he?
And I guess
he is,
and he's in, if I'm not mistaken, he left that game on Monday night with a little head injury. Maybe is he in
correct
is he in the protocol for a concussion still?
He is in the protocol, and with it being a short week, you know, it's probably about 40-50% chance that, you know, he'll even be on the field. I don't expect to see him, you know, out there, but, you know, if he is, I'm sure he's going to play, you know, the top of his game as well. But as it stands right now, yeah, he did leave that game in concussion protocol.
Well, I guess that when you look at this Broncos game that's coming up, that they got a pretty good ball club over there in Denver, and we're going to have, I think, our hands full. They obviously have a couple of decent playmakers on the outside with Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius mm-hmm. Thomas, right?
Yes.
So we're going to have our hands full, so I think it's going to be necessary for us to get that pass rush on to Trevor Siemian, who also showed very good pocket awareness, staying in with the rush and getting some good balls off. But they got those playmakers on the outside. C.J. Anderson is no slouch. I think Jamal Charles as well. They showed that they'll hand the ball off to him, which gives them their 1-2 punch. So mm-hmm. they set up fairly well. And that's just talking about the offense. That's not getting even on the defensive side, where they still have Tlaib and they got Von Miller over there that's going to be rushing.
Absolutely. I mean, they do have two lockdown corners back there, you know, and I know those guys are definitely going to come to play. And see, the difference between them and a lot of teams, they don't flip-flop, you know, the corners as far as following a receiver. You know, Tlaib's going to play his side, and he's going to try to be locked down. And, you know, Collins is going to have a job on his hand with Von Miller there. I know he did, you know, extremely well against JPP this past week. You know, this is almost going to be a measuring stick early for him, you know, and I believe if he can get in there and, you know, really, really, really apply himself as he did in the last game, you know, he can definitely excel. But Von Miller is no easy task, you know, definitely to try to face off with for 60 minutes.
Well, that's the thing. And when I look at like a JPP, and, you know, you relate him to the J.J. Watts, that your traditional big defensive ends that they can overpower.
He's outstanding.
They got some good speed, but this Von right. Miller is a different beast. This Von Miller's he's back. He's an LT. Absolutely, yeah. He's got speed, power, smarts, quickness, feet, angles, leverage. He's the entire package, and he
total
just looks
package.
Mean.
Yeah.
Doesn't he just look mean like in a helmet?
Wow.
Absolutely. He absolutely does. And I mean, you summed it up perfectly. You know, everything, he has all the attributes of, you know, a great player. It puts you in the mind of, you know, an LT or one of those guys from the mid-90s, you know, who definitely gets after it. You know, and he's going to be there all day, you know, with the power, with the speed. It's definitely going to take a lot from that old line, you know, to keep him away from that.
Right. I definitely see, like, Miller, the type of if you look at the two linebackers between him and Sean Lee is much more of a reactionary type of linebacker. If you come in my hole, I'm going to get you. This is the type of guy that's an instigator. He finds it, he targets it, he radars it, and he's out to get it. Both of them do their job, but you got a little umph out of Miller that looks for it, and he can kind of see it developing. And again, I don't want people to think I'm downgrading Sean Lee. Not at all.
Right.
Sean Lee is a perfect reactionary player. If that ball goes in that hole, he's there to meet that hole. This is the type of guy, the instigator, that's in the backfield already waiting for that guy to get the ball.
Man, the jump that he got towards the end of that game the other night, I mean, it was timed so perfectly, he thought that he was offsides.
Right.
I believe before the offensive lineman could even get, you know,
scary.
Out of his stance. Yeah, it was very scary, you know, that he was already in the backfield, you know, all over Phillip Rivers, just ready to disrupt action back there. And that's definitely going to be something, you know, that we're going to have to contend with, definitely.
Well, they're going to have to do something to make sure that they switch up the cadence, right? That they're not
yeah.
always on a hut or, you know, or two or whatever they're going to call in there, that they're going to have to switch that up, maybe hold it for a little bit. And you know what I think that's really going to
keep them off the field.
Keep them off the field. But I think what will really help is if they come out and they run some of that no huddle like they did against the Giants.
Absolutely.
I think that'll really keep them on their heels a little bit, because it gets them out of that traditional come up to the line, read your defense, and snap the ball, where now all of a sudden they're coming up to the line, they're calling a play, they're reading the defense, they're pulling off, they're calling another audible, getting in there, checking down, doing whatever they not. And now all of a sudden Von Miller might have to relax just a split second, and then boom.
Absolutely, absolutely.
What I meant by keep them off the field is, if we get these guys tired, they're gonna start going to the sideline. And the way we did it against the New York Giants there, I mean, was it Collinsworth that said, these guys are on pace for 80 minutes out there on the football field? I mean, the way they're playing right now, they're going to get tired. And that's how we wore out the Giant defense, where they kept trying to bring substitution, but now we're doing that quick snap snuff. Snap stuff that, you know, it keeps them on the field. And I don't know if we could do that in Denver, only for the fact that the crowd's going to be loud. I don't know if we can – we're the type of team that audibilizes every play and keeps everyone out on the field. So, you know what? The pace may be a little slower than last time than the Giant game.
It may be, you know, but I've seen this team, you know, definitely between Denver and, you know, maybe Seattle, sometimes Green Bay. Those are some of the, you know, toughest places to play due to the crowd noise. But just as it was stated, if we could get to the line, you know, quick offense, and that's an, you know, definitely salute to Coach Linehan and Dak as far as them opening up the playbook and allowing him to do that. It seemed like from the very first play of the game, begin, you know, to audible and read things and change it up, and we did not allow them to, you know, get those substitutions in. I mean, Von Miller, he's definitely an exceptional talent, but, you know, stamina is stamina for whoever it is, you know, and if he has to stay out there for an indefinite amount of time, because as long as we stick to our game, which is, you know, smash mouth football, run the ball, which is going to open up the pass, we definitely have a good chance, you know, to get a jump on them, get them on their heels, you know, and they're the type of team that, you know, definitely proves that, you know, they can climb out of a hole, but I think we can match them well, you know, position for position across the board.
No, there's no question about that. And on top of that, our offensive line, when we lost Larry, we brought in a guy named Chaz Green, who's also filled in that spot, and our offensive line looks solidified and just galvanized to do something special, just to hold its own here. It's not going to be the Charger team that we've seen out there. What is good to know is how running back's name?
C.J. Anderson or Jamal Charles?
San Diego.
Charles.
Not San Diego.
Oh, Denver?
Yeah, no, not San Diego. I keep wanting to say San Diego. The Chargers running
Angeles
back.
Chargers.
Oh, the Los Angeles. Oh, Melvin Gordon.
Gordon.
You've seen how Gordon had his way in the first half. And if he could do that, I guarantee you our guy, Zeke back there, can definitely clean house. I just feel if he could do it, if Gordon could do it, our guy can definitely outdo Gordon.
I believe so.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Melvin Gordon's a hell of a back there, that's for sure.
They shut him down the second half, though.
Yeah, well, he had his fair share of yards. I know that because I was playing against him in five fantasy leagues, it seemed like, and lost every one of them because of him. And a lot of them came in that little garbage that last couple of minutes there where he caught a couple of check down passes. But at the end of the day, we're going to have to play a good game against the Broncos. Okay, there's no doubt about it. Look for the kicking game to come into play. You know, Automatic Dan Bailey. Look for him to have a good game, and look for that, because you're up in Mile High, to be able to extend that field a little bit more, and maybe those, you know, that 40, you know, getting on the 40-yard line, having a punt, maybe that turns into a 3-point field goal try for us. And the weather should be good there.
It should be. And Bailey said that he was going to, you know, try to get out a little earlier than normal, you know, to test that altitude wind a little bit. And, you know, I think a guy that's being, you know, a little overlooked, you know, by, you know, the pundit, sort of talking head, so to speak, we definitely got to tip the cap to Chris Jones for keeping the Giants pinned, you know, each time that they started a drive. They were
very
on their side
call.
Of the field, you know, 5-yard line, 10-yard line. If we can keep that up, because, you know, when you got 94 yards behind you playing defense as well, you know, that's another thing, having to consistently put those drives together, you know, whether you're at home or on the road. But I definitely think the kicking game, you know, is going to come up big. And, you know, I also like to mention, guys, I remember the very first time I came on the podcast, and we were talking about who was a free agent at the time, or possible free agent, in Terrence Williams. I believe all the trash talk that he took on social media after the first week last year, you know, he stepped up in this game. He had six great catches, you know, for and some great yards after the catch. And I truly believe had he not tweaked his ankle so early in the game, one of those he possibly could have broke, you know, for a touchdown. But he brings some invaluable intangibles to the game as well, and I'm looking for him to have another big day.
Do you think, though, on that note, do you think Bryce Butler pushes that button on him to keep maybe last year, maybe he could have said, you know what, I'm not 100% to where I can go out there? Because Steve-O brought it up on the last show that, hey, you know what, I didn't think he was coming back. That looked ugly. But when you have a Bryce Butler out there, does it put a little bit more pressure on the number two to say, hey, I got to come back out here?
Steve-O is absolutely right. You know, Butler, he had a great training camp. You know, he's starting to make his presence known a little more for making incorrect plays. You know, the catch that he had to get us in the red zone, the 30-yard bomb, that was exceptional. And the Bryce Butler of last year possibly wouldn't have got under that ball or, you know, even had the tenacity to make that catch. But, you know, he made the catch. He is making strides. And I believe it. You know, it does put a little pressure on you because if it was last season, I believe, you know, even with it being the Giants, but it was week one, that T-Dub would have said, hey, you know, I'm gonna go ahead. I'm done for the night. You know, you guys go ahead and see what you can do. But knowing that Butler's knocking on that door to beat him,
right,
you know, Beasley, you know, the sauce is going to be there. So there's so many things that's going on that's keeping the wheels turning. So if you want to remain relevant in the offense, yeah, you're definitely going to have to stay out there. Absolutely.
Yeah, the most important ability is availability.
Availability. You so, better believe it.
Absolutely. So it just that the ankle just looked so bad. And then he came out there and he's moving fine. I mean, I fell down playing man ball yesterday and I'm limping around like nobody's business.
Oh, you should see him, Travis. He looks like he needs to be parked in the front of the parking space there.
I need a handicap sticker somewhere.
Hey, he's pretty bad right now. But, hey, what is your score here? Because I think the Vegas Lions got this at what, Steve-O?
Over-unders at 42, and Cowboys are favored by 2.5, which basically means, you know, on the road – that they're thinking the Cowboys are little under on a neutral site, little under a touchdown favorite. So, I mean, what do you add three on for a home team, right, Jono, traditionally?
That's what they say. I mean, but I'm looking at their field goal kicker, and he doesn't, you know, he's not a Denver Bronco type of field goal kicker where it's guaranteed like the old days. This guy's
right.
Not the same old Broncos kickers. This guy misses a field goal. So, yeah, you may be that 3 point. I'm not even sure I want to give him 3 points.
Okay. I'm going to tell you guys, I know there's still, you know, by everyone, there's still a little uneasiness as far as just giving us the credit deserved, as much as they will discredit the other team for not being any good. But based on what I saw the other night, now we played a team that's pretty much been manufactured to beat us, and, you know, you got to give them the credit. In the three games we've played, they've held us under 20 points, you know, which is definitely something be proud of. But I'll say this, I believe that we will definitely win the game, and my final score is probably going to be about 20-14. And the
reason why I say that again because our thing just went out just when you were saying that, so please throw us the score again here, Travis.
28-14. I think it'll be 28-14 with us. I think we're going to get an early start because when I think about the road games, the first two games that come to mind, well, the three games that come to mind is the Minnesota game, the Green Bay game, and the Pittsburgh game. Pittsburgh game was very tight. You know, the Minnesota game, we really couldn't get it rolling. But I could just remember the shock and awe of everybody watching a young kid in the fifth week just dismantle the Green Bay Packers on the road in Lambeau. Now, of course, you know, we all know how to season ended, but we're talking about the here and now. And I think because of all the adversity that this team has faced, everywhere they play, as long as they're in rhythm, they feel like they're playing at home. So if they can get in there early and, you know, take the air out of that crowd, so to speak, I think things will be on our side. You know, like I said, we left some points on the field the other night, and I expect them to get right back in the saddle and end up winning this one 28-14.
And I agree with you, Travis. I don't, all the talk is still on Green Bay, Atlanta,
Right.
You know, Pittsburgh, New England, you know, all of a sudden Kansas City has a real good game, and somebody might have, the ears might have perked up on, Kansas City, hey, hold on, what's Kansas City doing? You know, and here we are, we just had one of the best records in the NFL last year, and I agree with that. I still don't know if we're getting that, how Cowboy Nation feels about their Cowboys. I'm not sure that the national scene still feels the same way, that we are one of the teams to beat. You know, they try to give, the Giants, they're going to win the East. The Cowboys they're going to be a wild card team. And, you know, and they're trying to, will the Cowboys even make the playoffs? What do you think? It's going to take a 4-0, 5-0 start to get that talk going?
It will more than likely take that, and you know, so many things have contributed to that. You know, of course, with the, you know, the looming suspension talk that was going on, you know, we were expected 0-6, 2-4 with the start of the season. But I definitely agree with you, it's going to take either a 4-0 or a 5-0 start to jump out there. But then what I anticipate immediately after that is the talk about the teams that we've beat. Oh, well, they weren't this, they weren't that, they weren't this. And it was the same thing last season. We had something to prove every week, even though we were on an 11-game winning streak. But the teams that we were playing, you know, it was, well, they weren't at full strength, or they didn't get it together. Well, we had games where Dez wasn't available. We had every game where we had two rookies starting. Every game they played, it was the first sixth game. It was the first seventh game. It was the first eighth game of their career. So have you, but they still impressed every week out. And, you know, I expected that victory Monday when it started. You know, instead of saying how good we played, they talked about how bad the Giants were. And just like we know in Cowboys Nation, if the outcome was different, it would have been how awful we are and how the Giants still have our number. Even McAdoo, you know, he had comments, can anybody tell me who's on the defense? No running back does well when he has nowhere to run. Well, our running back only had one run of 10 yards or more, and he still grinded out 104 yards, but he also showed what he can do in the passing game. Our quarterback is very dangerous with his feet. So, you know, like I said, I anticipate that 4 to 5 games is what it's going to take, but I'm already hearing the talk, especially now with the injury to David Johnson, where Arizona's not going to be who they're going to be. It's the National Football League, guys.
Right.
Every week you got to show up to play with your 53 on the roster, 46 whoever's going to take the field. You got to show up with that, and you know, you got to go up or go down with that. And the one thing that I really appreciate about our team in the past 3 seasons, and that's including the 4-12, is no excuses. You know, we go out there, we play, we leave it all on the field. If we win, great. We won. If we lose, we deal with the loss. We can pinpoint where we went bad. You know, and we move on. Everybody's really bought in, and I think this is a special group. Barry Church, you know, who was a very loved and decorated Cowboy, on his way out the door, you know, and a few weeks ago, he said that he thought that Jacksonville was defense, you know, and I get that and I respect that. That's what you're supposed to say headed to your new team. And hey, they had 10 sacks this week in their first game, but they were playing, you know, a team with an awful offensive line, awful quarterback, a rookie coming in to replace, you know, so the solidification of them being great is still out. The jury's still out on them. But like it was mentioned earlier, I believe that we've got a core group now that everybody's going to be able to rally around as long as that defensive line, you know, continues to play the way they did. And don't forget, we still got David Irvin that wasn't in the game. We still got DeMontre Moore that wasn't in the game. So, you know, we still have some fresh bodies that are going to take the field and, you know, just going to make sure that people understand we're really trying to make a run at a championship. We're not just playing these games here anymore. We're making serious contention.
No question about that. But you know what? As last part of that, what you just said, it's going to be hard to take one of these guys off the line too. The way they're playing right now, they're making a statement that hey, I belong out on this field, and it's going to be interesting. And what you guys just said maybe a couple minutes ago about the people not giving us the respect, I don't really care about the people, much less about I look at Vegas. I look at what Vegas says, and Vegas looks at us as being in the Super Bowl. So they, I was watching the NFL Network. They go, we're moving the Cowboys up two spots on the power rating, and I'm like, who cares what you're doing? Because the real the real factor is out in Nevada, a little town named Las Vegas. They're the ones that really know what the hell, what teams are out there that pose a threat. And mind you, they're messing with dollars, the green. So they have to be precise at what they're putting out. And they've got the Cowboys at -2, -2.5 going into Denver. When's the last time a team goes into Denver being the favorite? I mean, that's a big call right there.
It is.
As much as we say they don't give us the respect, it doesn't matter what the public thinks. I really look at what Vegas thinks. And if Vegas has got us going in the Super Bowl and they got us on the road as a road favorite too, that's telling you one thing. Steve also brought up did you see any Taco Charlton?
Well, yeah, Taco was out there, but I think it was a situation of where, you know, the bad habits, you know, showed their face again. I think he played about 26 snaps, and, you know, he really wasn't disruptive out there at all. But I think Taco will be fine. You know, it's just going to come, you know, with the experience. That was his first pro action in a real game, and I anticipate a lot more throughout the season. You know, he's a raw talent. I look at David Irvin. It was the same thing when he was in Kansas City. You know, they thought he was pretty much a no good player. But I believe once he, you know, lets those bad habits go.
So you're saying it's going to be a project, more or less? Maybe
I think it's going to be a project.
Okay, good.
Possibly. Right. But the good thing that you just mentioned as far as having to take one of those guys off the line, it's been a while since we've had one of those good problems where you got to decide, you know, who's going to go in, who's going to play. But I believe, you know, Coach Marinelli, he's going to, you know, put the best defensive front out there. They're definitely going to be rotating guys in and out. And we're in a situation now where you don't feel insecure about having, you know, to rotate a guy in and out. If David Irvin comes back in and Paya has to come in and spell him some, that's fine. You know, I mean, that's great because there's no drop now, and I'm definitely confident in that.
Well, I mean, we brought it up earlier about Butler and Williams, the same scenario on the defensive line. There's no man that's going to be safe there. If you're letting a 5-6 yard gain and you're becoming a farm tool getting plowed back, there's going to be someone that's going to fill in and do the job.
Absolutely.
So, anyway, so we've got 28-14. What do you see here? What do you see, Steve-O?
I'm probably going to go a little bit closer. So I think I'm going to go 27-17.
27-17.
Yep. I think
you got a 10-point game.
I think a field goal's come into play a little bit here, just because it's natural up there. I mean, your field is so much shorter in Denver. I mean, you're extending out these field goals another 5-6 yards. So. I think each team will have at least one. It might even be 27-20.
Okay. So you got the spread being covered, though, the 2.5.
Yeah, well, yeah. I am a homer. I'm a Cowboys fan, so I think I had them going 16-0 too.
I see this one. I see this one being 31-17. 31-17, and I think the Cowboys are going to take the Bronco fans out of equation here in the end of the first half. It's going to be about 24-10, and I think by that time we've taken out – remember how we took out Seattle's fans? Late in the third quarter, you didn't hear anything from them after that. And I think we're going to see the same thing here with our beloved Denver Bronco fans out there. You know that you were looking at the stadium, and you're thinking it's empty. It was like all seats, and I'm going, wow, I don't think they filled up.
People were all dressed in orange. It was a good scene, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, so in any case, we're ready for them. I guess we're playing the AFC West this year. All of them in the AFC West?
AFC West is who we got this year.
Yeah, we had the North last year. We cleaned house on them. We beat every one of them last year. And now we've got the AFC West. And, you know, I think it's a tougher division than the North. But you know what? Who the hell cares? We're doing really good right now. So that's what we got. Thanks so much, Travis. We're going to keep
hounding you, if that's all right, man. We'd love to have you on the future shows, too.
That's fine with me, man. Thank you guys, you know, for reaching out. We're looking forward to a great season and hopefully to be in Minnesota in February.
Absolutely. We have the Professor Colleen Case that comes often with us. Travis,
we might have to
start calling Travis the preacher, man, because he was like giving a sermon up there.
We got the professor. We got the preacher. Yeah. You come up with these great
names, Colleen. I love Colleen, guys. I love Colleen.
Yeah, I wish my wife was half or 20% of Colleen. It would have been great, but mine just leaves the house, takes the kids, run out of the house too, and you know, but God, it's a thing in us, man. We just anyone talks bad about the Cowboys, he wanted to bring a Denver guy in here, and I'm like, what the hell are you doing that for?
TJ, right. So here's the deal, man. Here's what I wanted to do. I wanted to bring in, man, we got friends all over the place. We live right. in a town now that doesn't have football. So right. everybody's gone, and they've adopted other teams. So I got friends that are Vikings fans, and Broncos fans, and Eagles, and Chargers. Right. Well, we got everybody, right? So I go, why don't we have one of the opposing guys come in so Jono and me and Rodney and sometimes our, you know, Kung Fu Panda and whoever else is in here, Kyle, we could all gang up on the guy, tell him how we're going to whoop his team's ass. And he can
I can definitely see that.
And that would be fun. I think that would be good radio.
I don't want him here.
And Jono.
Yeah, Jono don't want him to get any shine. No,
not at all.
He threatened to beat the shit out of the guy. And the guy's a local guy, so I do a St. Louis Cardinal baseball show. He was in here helping me out with a Cardinal baseball show, and he's walking out, and Jono's coming in.
I didn't start it.
No, and a guy said something to you because we were going to do the Cowboys show, and he goes, oh, yeah, Cowboys, they're going to have their hands full week two with my Broncos. And Jono
almost
flipped out.
You liar, you. What he said was overrated. They're an overrated team, and Dak's got a sophomore jinx. He's not going to be anything like he was. And I said, who the hell are you? Why are you still here? Can't get out of here.
You?
I don't even want to see you. And then he brought up his Denver Broncos, and I said, get the hell out of here. I you know what? I never had anything against the Broncos till that cat.
I can understand it, man.
Thanks, Travis. I mean, I had to see counseling about that one, though. But I'm over.
But
now.
I thought it would make for good radio.
No, I want to be good radio. I'll lose my head.
It would make good TV. It would make good criminal law. It would make good Law and Order shows. It would make a lot of good stuff.
I won't do anything. All right, Travis, thank you so much, brother. We'll talk to you later.
All right, man. You guys be good.
Thanks, right. Travis.
Take care.
All right. All right.
Well, that was Travis.
Well, let's break this down realistically. Let's talk a little turkey here. I know we're kind of up against the time with this, but that was a big win for Dak and the team against the Giants. And I think that they keep the train rolling. I really do. I know that the Broncos have a good team out there. I know they have some players, both offensively and defensively. But I think that this team is on a mission.
I'm not sold on their QB.
Well, I mean,
I'm not sold on Simeon. I'll tell you that right now.
Listen, he's doing no less than what Dak's doing.
Oh, God.
From the standpoint of not supposed to be anything, and now he's something.
Yeah, but
you know what I'm saying? I mean, this kid's from what?
From day one.
He's a fourth-round draft pick. He was third string last year before Romo went down.
We've seen him play bad, though. We've seen Simeon play bad.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that with Dak.
You're right there. You're right. But this kid wasn't supposed to be the starter. They drafted this Lynch kid, Paxton Lynch, because Simeon was just a go-between between Peyton Manning, Brock Osweiler to the next guy, Paxton Lynch. And he's done nothing but go out there and play actually pretty good football.
All right. Before we throw the confettis all over him,
I'm not throwing
that,
it. We're going to whoop that
open
ass.
A champagne. I say he hasn't yet gotten a whiff of that defensive line. And I think that there's going to be pressure on him. And especially with our linebacking crew, if he flushes out, he's going to get a little smart and a little smart on the ribs. He's going to feel that a little bit. And he's not going to be the same guy that took advantage of the Los Angeles Chargers. I was still not used to that.
That's funny because when you kept on saying San Diego Chargers,
I go,
what in the hell is he talking about? No, not from the standpoint. It didn't resonate with me that San Diego was no longer a team. It was like, yeah, it's San Diego, dude. Why do you keep stumbling over your tongue? It's San Diego. Until you're like, no, Los Angeles. I was like, oh, shit, I would have said San Diego. I would have stuck with that.
Yeah.
That's an ash. Let me tell you what. That just burns me that you got two teams out in L.A., and I don't give a shit if you're out there and listening to us or whatever, you know, because they took the Rams, they took the Chargers, and nobody shows up to their game still. And don't show up to their games unless you're a Cowboys fan and the Cowboys are playing out there.
Yeah.
I want the visiting teams to show up, you know, because I think it's asinine that the teams move like that. It's just foolish. But anyway, John, my one question for you before we cut off the show is, how do you think the altitude is going to come in effect with the stamina? And what I usually say is stamina.
You said that really good.
No. I say the appropriate way to say it is stamina, but I like
stamina.
To say stamina with an I switch the N and the M. People look at me funny. It's just an inside joke from about 25 years ago with a guy that I knew. He said stamina, so we just kept running with it. He didn't know the difference. But what do you think that when it comes to the stamina out there in the Mile High?
Right.
How do you think the Cowboys are going to fare there?
Well, I think they're going to fare just as well as Denver because I don't think that those Denvers are used to that altitude yet either. So, you know, we're looking at both teams that are going to be about the same. I think Denver will adjust maybe the 8th, 9th, 10th week. But right now, I think they're both in the same boat. And when we get that offense going on quick starts like that, I think it'll take its toll on them much more than us. So that's where I sit. And I think Bailey, when he kicks too, that's going to be like helium flying.
Well, I hope so. All right. Yeah. So I have 27-20.
20.
I'm going to go 27-20.
I got 31-17.
Okay. We got we will tweet out and we will Facebook post when we get the Cowboys podcast DraftKings contest going. So make sure you're following the Facebook page pretty closely because it's going to fill up rather quickly. But we will do another Cowboys podcast DraftKings event. And we'll probably put a little money behind it this time so the winner gets something.
Right.
Tell them how they find us on Facebook and everything.
They find us on Facebook at Cowboys Podcast. And it's right there, folks, Cowboys Podcast. And I think we're still trying to push for 15,000. We're very close. 15,
four away. Four 15. Away, I believe.
What's that?
I think we're four away.
Four away from 15,000 fans. So I'm kind of excited about that. And our next groundbreaking will be 20,000. So really excited about that. We'll definitely get that by third game, I do believe. And what else? I think you can find us on iTunes at Cowboys Podcast. .com. That's our site as well, cowboyspodcast.com, and you guys can look for us again on iTunes itself, Cowboys Podcast. Not Dallas Cowboys, just Cowboys Podcast. And if you just download and maybe leave a little message behind on iTunes saying how good of a job we're doing. I mean, we heard from folks before saying hey, you know what? It's an entertaining show. These guys don't know the X's and O's. Maybe we never brought up the X and O's, you know?
This ain't an X and O show.
Yes, this is an X and O show.
There's plenty of shows out there to watch that look at the X and O's. Let me tell you what. Ron Jaworski can break it down for you. John Gruden can break it down for you. Even Tony Romo. Did you see him do that game?
I did not. How did he do it?
So let me tell you what he's doing. And you got to watch on this thing. So he does his first game, and he goes, oh, yeah, watch this. Up, here comes a linebacker down. He's going to audible to a run left. Hike, run left.
Really?
He goes, oh, here comes, boy, they're bringing a safety up over the top. I think he's going to check out of this play. He's probably going to throw a nice little out pattern here. He was making the call. It was unbelievable. It was awesome. Now, maybe they edited it like that, but at the end of the day, it looked pretty sweet as far as what I saw.
That's great. I'm glad to see he's doing well. Hey, folks, tune in. We're going to have Facebook live games too. We don't know exactly which games we're doing yet and all that. I know you guys like to chime in on that. Leave messages. Give us some ideas of what you guys would like to see out there too from the show. We definitely, we're all ears. We're all ears. We're part of you guys. Whatever you guys like, we try to do it. If not, you know, we're just trying to learn as we go along, too. Last year was a great year. You guys were really a part of it, and we'd like to do the same this year.
Perfect.
All right, Cowboy Nation, take care. Good luck. Let's bring this one home from Denver. I'm saying it's going to be a high-scoring game. And you know what? I hope I'm right. I hope you guys are all wrong here. I hope we just blow them off the map in Denver and celebrate late in the fourth quarter. From John Ostivo, Rodney, Travis, Kyle that wasn't here, our producer, everyone, take care and go Cowboys.
Go Boys.
Tune in next week for another edition of the Cowboys Podcast on lineupmedia.fm. Subscribe to the show now at cowboyspodcast.com on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Podbean, and all major podcast outlets. This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.